This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge.
All right, coming up on today's show, I will do a portfolio report card for SC. SC has a $700,000, actually check that, $751,000 investment portfolio. It consists of 9 mutual funds, 14 individual stocks, 1 ETF, and cash. Does it pass or does it fail? You're going to find out on today's show. Stay tuned for that. Also coming up, multi-asset class funds. Is it a good idea to buy these types of investments near retirement? We'll get into that a little bit later. If you'd like to join the program, you know the drill. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can tweet the program live, again, at Index Show. You can also email the program, ron@indexshow.com. And the portfolio report card, just for those of you that are new to the show, is my breakthrough way of analyzing your investment portfolio and judging whether it's architecturally sound or unsound. Now, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to invest. Now, what is the right way to invest? Well, clearly, it's to limit taxes, minimize investment costs, maximize diversification, control risk, and have satisfactory performance. That is what my definition of the right way to invest is. Now, the wrong way to invest is to ignore all of those things and just do whatever. Or to invest like you're gambling. That's the wrong way to invest. Well, investing shouldn't be exercise like gambling. It should be very deliberate. It should be meaningful. It should be purposeful. And it should help you to reach your financial goals. That's the whole point of the portfolio report card. It's a one-page report, by the way. When we do this report card on the show, the people that submit their portfolios to me get a one-page PDF report analyzing and grading their portfolio in each of the categories, the 5 categories that we talk about on the program. So that will happen on today's show for SC. SC, by the way, is stationed in Germany. SC is a married couple, and they are active duty Air Force. At least she is. He is retired. He's a U.S. government employee. And we're going to drill down to their investment portfolio, which consists of a joint brokerage account and an IRA. And we'll see if their portfolio, its combination, passes or fails. Again, if you'd like to join us, at Index Show is my Twitter handle. We'll also get you caught up on what's happening with some of the major market indexes, as well as the ETFs tracking them. Now, I just want to mention quickly for those of you that invest in international stocks, particularly Asian stocks, this has been a pretty hot area so far in 2015. Overall, international stocks have been outperforming the U.S. by a pretty wide margin. VEA tracks international stocks from developed countries like Japan, as well as Italy, and the United Kingdom and Australia and Canada. VEA ahead by just over 11% since the beginning of the year. SPY, which tracks the S&P 500, ahead by just 3.5%. So you see that international stocks are outperforming the U.S. market by more than 3 times in terms of a percentage gain since the beginning of the year. And we could see more gains ahead, particularly for some of those Asian shares, particularly China, which has been a standout performer. If we take a look at mainland Chinese stocks, a ticker symbol ASHR. Again, ASHR tracks mainland China stocks. That's the CSI 300, ahead by 26% since the beginning of the year. My goodness, Chinese stocks are sizzling. And guess what? Guess what? They could sizzle a little bit more because China's central bank just cut interest rates for the third time over the past 6 months. The People's Bank of China will reduce the one-year lending rate by 0.25%. What do you think that's going to do to Chinese stocks this upcoming week? We could see a bounce higher. Now, they've over the past couple of weeks, they've been just kind of hanging out, flatlining, not really up, not really down, well, marginally down. But this could really give Chinese stocks a further boost. For those of you that like to use leverage, check out ticker symbol CHAU. This is for the non-core part of your investment portfolio, which aims for double daily performance to China mainland stocks. CHAU, that's a new ETF from Direction Investments. We could see a big bounce in this particular ETF as the Chinese central bank continues to infuse stimulus on its economy. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. Today we'll be doing a portfolio report card for SC. SC is a married couple. He's 51, she's 47. They are military people, and they're stationed in beautiful Germany. I've never been there, but I've seen the pictures. And so they submitted their portfolio to me. They want to know if their investment portfolio passes or fails. Now, this is a $751,000 portfolio. Again, he's 51, she's 47, she's active duty Air Force, and he is retired. Now, in terms of actual cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance, we'll look at each of these five areas of this portfolio, and we'll see if they get an A, B, C, D, or F. And we'll see, basically, if they've got the right combination of factors that are helping them to get ahead, or perhaps they're falling behind. Now, again, this portfolio consists of 9 mutual funds, 14 individual stocks, 1 ETF, and cash. And I'm going to give you some of the exact ticker symbols in a minute, but I just want to get you caught up specifically and just help you understand a little bit more about SC. They self-manage this portfolio, and I asked them how important investment income is. They told me it's somewhat important because it adds or allows them to have discretionary spending. Their investment time horizon is another 5 to 10 years. And I also asked them how they would describe their investment strategy. They said they're conservative. They're hoping to generate at least 4% on dividends per year, and that would be enough to supplement their retirement pensions and live comfortably. And so that's kind of a background on who they are. In terms of risk tolerance, the risk scale goes from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest tolerance to risk, 1 being the lowest. They rate themselves a 5, right in the middle. So that kind of gives you a background on SC. Now we will get into some of their specifics. Let's begin with the first grading category, which is cost. Now, the asset-weighted annual fund expenses on the mutual funds in one ETF position are just under 40 basis points, which is 0.40%. Now, the rest of their assets, again, are invested in individual stocks, so they don't pay a fee on those particular monies, just on the mutual funds and the ETF. So their particular portfolio, just the fund costs alone, are almost twice as high as my index benchmark. Some of the funds that they own that have particularly high fees, and these are all Fidelity funds, and I'll give you the ticker symbols, FCT, TFX, FINPX, FSDIX, and FFFEX. These particular funds are lifting expenses to a much higher level than what they should be, so they can do a much better job in terms of limiting cost. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We'll look at some of the other areas of this portfolio and see if it passes or fails. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I also write the monthly newsletter at ETF Guide, and the June ETF Profit Strategy newsletter will be out soon. If you have not had a chance to pick up the May issue, go to etfguide.com and subscribe. You'll get all the latest, along with my mega investment theme report, which highlights the 10 major mega investment themes globally and how to play that with ETFs. Also, if you'd like to join the show to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, I'm going to give you the number 844-305-7800. That's a toll-free number. Again, 844-305-7800. Give us your first name along with your city and your ticker symbols. Now, we're doing a portfolio report card on today's show for SC. This is a $751,000 investment portfolio. He's 51, she's 47, and they are still working. Now, this particular portfolio is self-managed, and as we explained to you earlier, it consists of 14 individual stocks, 9 mutual funds, 1 ETF, and cash. Now, the 3 biggest holdings in this portfolio, starting with the biggest holding, is ticker symbol FUSVX. That's the Fidelity Spartan 500 Index Fund, tracks the S&P 500. In that particular investment, they have got just over $101,000. So SC has just over $101,000. And remember, this is a $751,000 portfolio. That's their largest holding. The next largest holding, individual stock, Johnson & Johnson, J&J, is the ticker symbol. They've got almost $69,000 invested in that particular area. And then one final holding that is the top part of the top three is the Fidelity California Municipal Income. This is a municipal bond income fund, ticker symbol FCTFX. They've got just over $52,000 in that particular fund. So those are the 3 top holdings. And as we talked about earlier in the show, they definitely need to do a better job at minimizing investment costs. They're paying annually the asset-weighted cost of these funds 39 basis points, 0.39%. And according to my index benchmarks, which match up with the same asset mix, they can cut their expenses by around 50% easily. In terms of diversification, I hope we all know what a diversified portfolio is. Now, it's all about low cost and broad exposure, diversified exposure to the major asset classes. And there's 5 major asset classes. If you're taking notes, the 5 major asset classes are stocks, bonds, real estate, commodities, and cash. Now, this particular portfolio has exposure to U.S. and international stocks. That's good to see. They own in the international space. What do they own? Well, they've got some exposure here. I can't find the ticker symbol specifically, but they do have exposure to international stocks. I can promise you that. Now, the other thing that they do have exposure to is real estate. They do own a few individual REITs in this portfolio. Ticker symbol NNN. That's the National Retail Properties. That's a REIT. They also own one other REIT. That's ticker symbol AGNC. And that pretty much does it. Oh, there's one more, HCP. So those pretty much cover it in terms of REITs. And also Simon Property Group. They've got some exposure there. So that covers them on real estate. They have some exposure to bonds and cash. Still, the portfolio misses exposure to one major asset class, that's commodities. And then also the other issue here when it comes to diversification is look at how they're going about. Look at how they've constructed this portfolio. They've got exposure to real estate, but they're doing it via individual REITs. So what the portfolio lacks is broad diversification to this particular asset class, real estate. You can't get broad exposure to real estate using just one or a handful of individual REITs or individual real estate stocks. You just can't do that because those individual REITs are not broad proxies or measures of the asset class. And it's the same thing with stocks too. Just because you own a handful of stocks doesn't mean you're diversified, because the fact is those individual stocks don't represent the broader market. They aren't proxies, diversified proxies for the broader market. And so that's problematic when you're trying to build an investment portfolio one stock at a time, or one bond at a time, or one REIT at a time. It's pretty tough to get that broad diversification. It's actually impossible if you're going to build a portfolio that way. So that's why, as I try to teach you each and every week on the show, the foundation of your portfolio should always be those broad, diversified index funds or ETFs that will give you exposure, that's the foundation of your portfolio. It gives you broad and diversified exposure to those major asset classes. Doing that, you're going to see that those index ETFs, those index funds, are actual proxies of those asset classes. And they're excellent proxies, and that's where you begin. Once you have taken care of that priority of laying the foundation of your portfolio on those broad and diversified index funds and covering those major asset classes, then you can go on to the next part. And if you want to buy individual stocks, you layer that over your foundation. The foundation, though, always comes first. 844-305-7800. That's the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLedge. If you'd like to join us, we're here. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Just a quick reminder, if you ever miss our regular radio broadcast, you can pick up the podcast. It's available on SoundCloud.com. Just search for the Index Investing Show. Again, SoundCloud.com. You can also find us on iTunes. And when you go there, please give our show a review. Let others know what you think about the program. Now, I want to also get into a little bit later talking about multi-asset class funds. Are they a good idea to invest in these types of funds as you near retirement? So we will get into that. We'll also complete the portfolio report card for SC and see how their portfolio does in the other key areas. In terms of diversification, they definitely need to do a little bit of a better job in terms of adding some commodities exposure and then broadening their diversification by getting some proxies of these major asset classes like real estate into the portfolio. So I think if they do that, they will definitely improve. Next up, we're going to look at risk, tax efficiency, and performance, and then give them a final report card grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Now, how does your portfolio grade? Do you get an A, B, C, D, or F? To find out, go to PortfolioReportCard.com, and I will analyze and grade your portfolio. If it's an IRA, 401k plan, family trust account, joint brokerage account, individual brokerage account, UGMA account, 403b, 457, I analyze and grade it all. It could be a $100,000 portfolio, a $100 million portfolio, or anything in between. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com. And if you get an A, guess what? I pay you $100. Take my challenge at PortfolioReportCard.com. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Be here or be nowhere.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right, I got a comment on our Facebook account from Robert asking me about this robo-advisor movement, what I think about it. What do you think about robo-advisors, Ron? Well, let me tell you about robo-advisors. Investment advice delivered by mobile applications and automated software programs and other artificial intelligence. This is Wall Street's latest fashion trend. And while these technological trends may give the phony appearance of portfolio customization, their chief preoccupation is with clever algorithms versus having a personal relationship with investing customers. And that's the biggest problem I have with robo-advisors. It's not personalized investment advice. It's basically mass-produced algorithms is what it is. And basically, it's tantamount to Mario Brothers investing, in my view. And so that kind of sums up what I think about the robo-advisor movement. And what a man is sowing is what he reaps. And if you invest with robots, well, you'll reap whatever results that the robots give you. Now, for the rest of us, I prefer a personalized approach, a hand-tailored approach versus mass-produced investing solutions like target date retirement funds and portfolios assembled by computers and robots and all of this this computerized movement. Now, I'm not against technology per se, but I am against this whole view that algorithms will solve the world's problems and make it easier for everybody. Well, no, it won't. In fact, if we look at just the past 10 years alone, 10 or 15 years, at the heart of every single major global financial crisis, algorithms have been right in the middle of it. Algorithms driven by risk models that blew up from long-term capital in the late 90s that blew up because their mathematical models broke. And so now we've got this the same thing being sold to the investing public. And so what do you think is going to happen when the next bear market arrives and tears to shred people's portfolios that were built by faceless robots? Well, I don't think the results are going to be very good. What a man is sowing is what he reaps. And if we invest in a Mario Brothers-like way, well, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get Mario Brothers-like results. So let me be very clear and explicit to you that this is not a movement that I support. 844-305-7800. That's the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. Taking a look at some of the performance of major markets globally. We already caught you up and told you about what's going on with the U.S. as well as international and emerging market stocks. Of course, international equities outperforming easily U.S. stocks. In terms of the total U.S. bond market, ahead by about 1% since the beginning of the year. Global real estate stocks ahead by just over 1%. In terms of sector performance, there's a couple standout sectors that really I should mention. One of them is healthcare stocks, which continue to lead. XLV ahead by 7.7% since the beginning of the year. XLK is another hot area that follows technology stocks, ahead by 4.5%. And how about energy stocks? Yes, the death of oil has been greatly exaggerated. Energy stocks ahead by 4% since the beginning of the year, and a pretty amazing turnaround in that particular sector. Of course, there's still a lot of problems there, but nevertheless, as a group, energy stocks doing pretty well. Now, let's go get back to our portfolio report card for SC. This is a married couple. He's 51, she's 47. They've got a $751,000 self-managed investment portfolio. And as I explained to you earlier, their portfolio needs to do a better job at minimizing investment cost. The nine mutual funds they own are not cutting it. They're paying 0.39%. And according to my calculation, they can cut that easily in half. And so they can do a much better job in terms of minimizing investment costs. In terms of commissions, they're not day traders. They're not active traders. They're not buying and selling. So no real problems there to speak of in terms of transaction costs. Portfolio needs to improve when it comes to diversification. They were missing exposure to commodities. I told you earlier, too, that they did have exposure to international stocks. I couldn't find the ticker symbol, but I'd located it. They own the Vanguard Emerging Market Mutual Fund. That's ticker symbol VEIEX. And they've got about $12,000 invested in that particular fund. So they do have exposure to international stocks via that, or foreign stocks via that holding. Now let's go to the next grading category, which is risk. Now the way that you assemble your portfolio and divide it among the various asset classes should always be 100% compatible with how you describe yourself as an investor, as well as your age. Now, the overall asset mix for this particular portfolio is the following: 81% stocks, 16% bonds, 3% real estate, and the rest is invested in cash. Now, this asset mix tilts a little bit on the aggressive side for a 51-year-old conservative dividend investor. And the other thing I think about is how SC described themselves to me even before they submitted their portfolio information to me. And I asked them very clearly, what is your risk tolerance? What is the ceiling on that? With 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. Well, they rated themselves a 5, which is right in the middle, which to me says they are conservative investors, and that's exactly how they describe themselves. So is an 81% equity allocation, is that conservative for a 51-year-old investor? Well, I think, again, it tilts on the aggressive side, not just for how they describe themselves, but also for this age group and the type of investor that they actually are. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there in terms of compatibility between how they describe themselves and how their portfolio is actually structured. So I think SC needs to be doing a better job looking at this from another angle. With an 81% exposure to stocks, $751,000 portfolio, a 20 to 40% market decline would subject their combined portfolios to potential market losses between $120,000 to $243,000. So that's another way of looking at it. I think they could do a much better job, again, in terms of just bringing back the risk orientation of this portfolio and getting it in line with who they really are. We'll look at tax efficiency and performance before we give them their final report card of A, B, C, D, or F. And if you're wondering, Well, gosh, what does my investment portfolio look like? I have an advisor. Maybe I'm not comfortable with that advisor. Maybe I'm suspicious of the fees that I'm paying. Maybe I don't even know what kind of fees I'm paying to have my money managed. Or perhaps I'm managing my money myself. I'm making all my decisions with me, myself, and I, but I'm not really sure if I'm making the right choices or right decisions or if my portfolio is on track. So what you do is you go to portfolioreportcard.com and you reach out to me, and I will analyze and grade your portfolio and tell you exactly what's going on in five areas: cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. And then you'll get a one-page report. And again, go to portfolioreportcard.com. If you get an A, I pay you $100. An A, by the way, and some of you have asked me this, what does it take to get an A? Well, it's a perfectly pitched baseball game. An A means your portfolio does perfect when it comes to minimizing cost and taxes, perfect when it comes to risk, diversification, and performance. It's an A. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, let's finish this portfolio report card for SC. $751,000 portfolio. And they have got another 5 to 10 years to go before they really absolutely retire. And she's still working. He's semi-retired. And so they both are military people. And they also have pensions too. So this money that they've accumulated here is going to be added to the kitty, and the pensions will help them. They also will be eligible for Social Security, so that will also help them to live off of that income. So this particular money, we already looked at it in terms of cost, diversification, risk. Got 81% exposure to stocks, 16% bonds, 3% to real estate and cash. And as we explained in the previous segment, it's a little bit more on the aggressive side than actually how they describe themselves. So they've got to make some tweaks there. In terms of tax efficiency, and this is really boils down to you don't have to be a CPA to build a tax-efficient investment portfolio. You really need to do two simple things. Number one is own tax-efficient investment vehicles, beginning with index ETFs and index funds. That's a good place to start. And the other aspect of this is if you're going to have gains, the ideal type of gains to have are long-term gains because they're taxed at a lower rate versus short-term gains. And then two, another aspect of this, every year, look at your portfolio, your taxable portfolio, and lining up any losses that you may have in the portfolio and gains, and offsetting any of those gains with losses. That's also part of creating a more tax-friendly situation for yourself. And then, of course, a biggie is having smart asset location and taking your tax-inefficient asset classes like your bonds and your commodities and your REITs and having those invested in your tax-deferred accounts like your 401k and IRA and your Roth IRA. So you do all of these things and you create a tax-friendly environment for yourself. None of us can completely avoid taxes, but what we can do is take deliberate moves to minimize the negative impact of taxes. We should all be doing this in a very deliberate and purposeful way. It shouldn't be something that's left up to chance. Now, this particular portfolio, the bulk of it is invested in a joint brokerage account with a very small portion in IRA, and they've got the Vanguard Target Retirement 2030 Fund, ticker symbol VTHRX. in this portfolio. They got about $49,000 in that particular fund. And again, the rest is in the joint brokerage account that is taxable. And I just don't see enough tax-efficient index ETFs in this particular portfolio. Now, granted, they do own a number of stocks. They have 14, and so that takes up a bulk of their money. Their money's invested there. But you take a look at the mutual funds they do own, like the Fidelity Inflation Protected Bond Fund, FINPX. That's held in the taxable brokerage account. That ideally should be located in your retirement account in order to minimize the impact of taxes. So that can definitely improve. On a positive note, they do own the California Municipal Bond Fund, ticker symbol FCTFX. So what that tells me is there is a understanding that they need to minimize taxes, and certainly owning a municipal tax-free bond fund can do that, especially if you're in a higher tax bracket. So if they can just do more of that and be deliberate about it, I think they can reduce their tax burdens even further. Last up is performance. This portfolio over the past year grew 6.78% versus a gain of 7.6% for the index benchmark that matches up with this same asset mix. And remember, that asset mix is 81% stock, 16% bonds, 3% real estate and cash. So they slightly underperformed the benchmark. And the final portfolio report card grade for SC is a B. And that's a good grade. They scored 13 points out of 25. Now, it is a low B. It's right on the edge of almost being a C. But nevertheless, they had some good things about their portfolio. I think the strongest areas were clearly tax efficiency and performance. Those two areas, they got a 4 out of 5 possible points, and that's pretty good. But they've got some major problems in this portfolio, and one of them, the biggest, is risk. In this particular category, they flunked just because the overall asset mix is not conservative and it doesn't match up from an age perspective of where they should be. It's way more aggressive than how they actually describe themselves. So they need to improve there. Also, diversification and cost were problem areas. And so thank you for taking Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card Challenge SC, and do check back with me and let me know how you're progressing with your portfolio adjustments. And hopefully the next time you come back and do a portfolio report card, you can get an A. If you'd like to see how your portfolio grades, go to PortfolioReportCard.com and take my challenge. If you get an A, I pay you $100. Let's talk about multi-asset class funds. Is buying these types of investments near retirement a good idea? Well, first of all, multi-asset class funds, as well as ETFs, are designed to invest across various asset classes like stocks and bonds and commodities and real estate and perhaps some other alternatives in the mix. Now, the main problem that I see with multi-asset class funds and ETFs is that they propose to do something that people should already be doing for themselves, namely customizing their portfolio's asset mix across a variety of different asset categories. The other problem is that some investors will mistakenly own multi-asset class funds when they already have exposure to some of the same underlying assets elsewhere in their portfolio. So if you own a multi-asset class fund that invests in stocks, bonds, and real estate, and then you also own stocks, bonds, and real estate elsewhere in your portfolio, well, what have you just done? You've just created a condition known as over-diversification. And the whole point is to avoid these types of things. So it doesn't really make much sense to combine a multi-asset class fund with other investment holdings that invest in the same area. One final thing that is really problematic, I think, with multi-asset class funds is that they're sold under this false premise that fund managers can jump in and out of various asset classes by perfectly timing market tops and bottoms. And this is not true. In fact, there was a 12-year study conducted on 323 U.S. multi-asset class funds. It was a 12-year study conducted from 2000 to 2012 titled Multi-Asset Class Funds, Can They Time the Market? And the study found that 98% of these types of funds were unable to accurately time movements in and out of the stock market. In other words, the typical multi-asset class fund shareholder is paying for a service that fund managers aren't delivering. The study concludes, quote, "We find overall that asset class timing skills among multi-asset class funds is rare, existing only among a tiny minority of funds," end of quote. Put another way, professional investors are collectively no better than the investing public at market timing. So an individual investor, that's you, me, and the rest of us, can assemble and should be assembling our own multi-asset class portfolios. And we can do that at a much lower cost than what most of these asset class, multi-asset class funds are charging. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Follow me on Twitter at Index Show. And thanks again for joining us. Until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.